The fall of the Roman Republic, 121 BC to 59 BC. The fall of the Sullan Constitution. In 78 BC, Sulla was dead. A decade later, his constitution, which briefly had restored the oligarchy to absolute power, was also dead. So what happened? First of all, the most bitter enemies of the restored oligarchy were the sons, relatives, and friends of the men who suffered proscription, exile, or death. Second, in the forests of Etruria roamed bands of once peaceful and well-to-do farmers whose land had been confiscated by Sulla so their land could be distributed to his veterans. Third, in the city of Rome, the starving masses had been deprived of their subsidized food and were starving more. Fourth, the middle class had suffered financial ruin and had also been denied the right of jury service in the extortion courts. The Senate did eventually select the 300 richest middle class men to serve in the Senate, but that certainly doesn't help everybody else. Then, as the years went by, a fifth one comes in, and that is the most frustrated and rebellious groups of all was Sulla's own veterans. They had been given the confiscated land, but they had absolutely no knowledge of how to farm. So they quickly ended up in debt and became potentially the most dangerous element in Roman society. It's just interesting to see that, yes, let's give you some land. But then if you don't know how to farm, if you've been a soldier your whole life, it's really kind of hard to take your sword, make it into a plowshare, and then figure out what's going on. And then, of course, you have all the people who lost their means of wealth. You remember, I believe it's Machiavelli, who said that you would be better off killing a person than taking the family money, because the family will get over having lost a relative, but they will never get over having lost the means to maintain their wealth in society. So, got to watch out for these guys. But discontent could not find expression without leaders. But however, there were leaders that were developing. Actually, a lot of them. Marcus Aemilius Lepidus, Quintus Sertorius, Pompey, Lucullus, Crassus, and ultimately, of course, Julius Caesar. The first attack on the Sullan oligarchy was made by Marcus Aemilius Lepidus. He was consul in 78 BC, a member of a very, very ancient and aristocratic family. Lepidus had initially been a conservative, a member of Sulla's inner circle. He had increased his wealth by buying at cut rates the property of those proscribed by Sulla. Afterwards, as governor of Sicily, he had shamelessly plundered the province and was brought up on impeachment charges. He narrowly escaped being impeached. Lepidus now, at this point, had a change of heart and became the first leader of the rebel opposition. Sulla's funeral pyre was very barely cold when Consul Lepidus proposed, first of all, recalling all of Rome's exiles. Second, resuming the cheap grain to the urban poor. Third, returning all confiscated properties to their former owners. And fourth, the restoration of the powers of the tribunes. Well, the Senate unwillingly accepted number one and number two, but vigorously and successfully opposed number three and number four. Well, soon the exiles began the return to Rome. Marcus Paperna, young Lucius Cinna, and young Julius Caesar. Now political clubs sprang up, and soon rooms, bars, and brothels were abuzz with political plots and conspiracies. The Senate now found itself in a very difficult situation. So Lepidus was sent to northern Etruria to suppress an armed rebellion near Florence. Well, what happened was those evicted farmers had simply gotten fed up of hiding in the woods and began attacking people and had actually driven Sulla's veterans from their former property. So to carry out his assignment, Lepidus went to Cisalpine Gaul and raised an army. This left Lepidus's legate, M. Junius Brutus, in charge of northern Italy. Lepidus then marched to Etruria. Instead of suppressing the rebels, he invited them to join his army, and he began a march on Rome. Of course, the Senate ordered Lepidus to disband his army, and Lepidus issued a counter demand. First of all, a second consulship. Remember, in Sulla's constitution, you're not supposed to serve consecutive terms. And second, the restoration of the tribunes' abolished powers, which would allow them to legislate and compete with the Senate. Well, the Senate at this time then sent Consul Catulus, loyal to the Senate, to oppose Lepidus. Pompey was then sent to deal with Junius Brutus. Catulus, with Sulla's veterans, drove Lepidus back to Etruria. Pompey defeated and put Brutus to death. Pompey then moved into Etruria and defeated Lepidus at Cosa. Lepidus, with what was left of his army, managed to escape to Sardinia, where he later died. Lepidus's legate, Mercus Perpuna, took what was left of Lepidus's army and moved to Spain, joining Quintus Sertorius's forces, who were fighting a full-scale war against the Sullan constitution and the new Sulla Rome. So things are just heating up here. And the sources for this are the History of the Romans by Heckel Hyman Yao, Chronicle of the Roman Republic by Matusak, and History of the Romans by Bourne, plus all the ancients that I have in my library. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. And ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, check out the souvenirs. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us with a little donation. Thank you very much.